Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Isn't this a sports show?
The bigger news of the day, though, is something that was taking us over an hour to get to because, ta-da, two thumbs pointing at this show.
Almost entirely.
I started a website, patrickmahomespictures.com.
Are you Googling patrickmahomespictures.com?
It's available!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't have to talk entirely sports for 2 hours. I have to talk almost entirely sports for 2 hours a day.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't have to do what you tell us to. We do what we want. You can't stop us.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810. WHB.
Another NFL draft is finally in the books. We have six new members of the Kansas City Chiefs to talk about, and I genuinely think all of them are fascinating in their own ways, some in their talent, some in their ways that they will fit with the Kansas City Chiefs. At some point this week, we might even talk about an undrafted free agent or two. Personally, I'm hoping that at some point this week we're talking about a veteran or two. We'll talk about that at some point tonight as well. But this show is going to be all draft all the time because there's so much to discuss. And I was telling Rudy Salazar, who is here right now on the other side of the console, Beards McFly on the other side of the glass. I was telling Rudy whenever I got in today that I feel like I'm flying without a net in some ways, and I have amended this a little bit, but I came in with virtually no player notes or anything written down at this point because, as Beards knows, I was in this exact chair for every single one of the picks the Kansas City Chiefs made. I hopped on afterwards. I brought you all the press conferences live. I was here soaking up all of the Chiefs draft content from these last few days, all day Friday, all day, all night Friday, all day Saturday. I feel like I know the families of these players at this point, and I certainly know what I think is most interesting about all of them. But if you guys open the Google Docs, I think Beards is in it already. I do have the things that we've heard about these players. We'll hear from Brett Veach. He was also maybe the most interesting Brett Veach presser we've heard in a while. I didn't feel like he was just lying to us about what he was about to do in terms of the tackle position and everything. So I'm excited to get you some of the clips that Brett Veach, some things Brett Veach said today. We've got area scouts. We've got directors of personnel. It was a very fun, very busy couple of days here going through this process. But I feel, as I'm saying about, you know, having a Google Doc that has now filled out, but was at one point very, very sparse. I just feel like I have internalized a ton about these guys already, and they've been members of the Kansas City Chiefs for like 2 or 3 days. But that's what we're going to unpack over the course of the show here today. And if you want to get involved with the show, however you see fit, you can do it a number of ways. You can watch the show and comment and interact on our Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch channels. Or if you're listening live now but you want to catch up later, you can grab the podcast and go to aes.show whenever you wherever you are on the internet. You can search for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts, or of course, you can listen right here live tonight. We'll talk to Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest, as we do every week, at 8 o'clock tonight. And then at 9, we'll talk to our draft guru, Jordan Foote, who completed 100 and 100. We talked to him last week in our draft preview show. I want to look back at the draft with him now because I'm very curious to see what he thought about some of these guys as he was reviewing them along the way over the course of his 100 and 100 series. He got several of them reviewed ahead of time when that series, the Chiefs did end up actually selecting. And I'm excited to hear from him as well. We'll talk to him at 9, Matt Derrick at 8, myself, Josh Briscoe, Rudy Salazar, Beards McFly, all here with you for 3 hours tonight with plenty to talk about. You leave your comments on Twitch and everything, and we will we'll sift through those. If you've got like straight up draft player questions, I'll be here to get through some of those, especially later on tonight, because I think you're going to probably bring up some questions that I'll be able to answer that maybe aren't incredibly obvious at this point, because I am deep in it right now, deep into this draft coverage. So here's the, you know, I like the 30,000 foot view, right? Here's the 30,000 foot view. Here is my thoughts on the class as a whole. And then I've got stuff, I've got clips, I've got everything on every single one of these players along the way. But here's where I think we need to begin. This draft class, at least outside of the first two rounds, and maybe in the first two rounds as well, we'll figure that out over time, but at least in their final four picks, this is a draft that is even more than your usual draft, is going to predominantly be about best case scenarios and worst case scenarios. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I don't necessarily mean it as an endorsement either, I guess. But it is a draft about best case scenarios and worst case scenarios. What do I mean? Great question. Me.
What do you mean, Josh?
Thank you, Beards. You've got guys like Joshua Kando, the edge out of Florida State, who the best case scenario is that he gets back to his high school level recruitment. He gets healthy and gets with Steve Spagnuolo, and all of a sudden, you see an absolute menace of an athlete looking like a menace of an edge rusher at the NFL level. If not this year, maybe next year. The worst case scenario, I'm just starting with him because he's the first one of this range that definitely belongs in that conversation. The worst case scenario is that he never puts it together, never sees the field, and he's a fourth round pick that essentially disappears into thin air. You could say an incredibly similar thing about Noah Gray, an undersized tight end who could be used perfectly in the Chiefs offense and also could be a guy who ends up playing a number of roles in this Chiefs offense, or maybe by being undersized and not really having a position, he'll never see the field. Cornell Powell, is he going to be speedy enough to earn a spot in this offense? Can he end up beating out a DeMarcus Robinson or a Mecole Hardman? Will he even be able to beat out a Byron Pringle, a Marcus Kemp, a Garrett Dieter? What dominant trait does he have? I'm not 100% sure there is one. That's the downside, right? Maybe he never gets to sift through all of the depth that this receiver room has without necessarily having the ceiling outside of Tyreek Hill and arguably Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. Arguably. The best case scenario, though, is that he's a guy that you... I'm stealing this phrase from someone who was tweeting about it on draft day. I continue my streak of being incredible at remembering things people say but forgetting who said it. But maybe he ends up being a guy who you never have to design a play for and cleans up, finds himself getting open, and is there for your 7-yard gains whenever everything else is covered or down the field or moving around. Whenever defenses get distracted by all the speed, maybe he, with his big body, his kind of post-up ability that we'll get into more later, maybe he's going to be able to be the guy that cleans up in the way that you wanted Sammy Watkins to, but just he struggled to even when he was healthy, especially last year. Was good at it when he was healthy 2 years ago. Best case scenario, worst case scenario. Best case scenario for Trey Smith is that his medicals are clear. He is just a filthy football player in pretty much every sense of the word. I've loved the clips of him that I've seen so far. And he could be an absolute steal as a 226th overall pick. Also, he's there because of blood clots and a lung concern. You see how all four of those guys, especially, they have this tremendous range of outcomes and really extreme ones. There's probably a space somewhere in the middle where all those guys, you know, hit the middle of their road. They don't hit their absolute ceiling. They don't hit their absolute floor. But these are super high variance prospects. And honestly, for all four of those guys, very, very, very little would truly surprise me. All four of them have a best case scenario that ends up with them being really valuable starting NFL players. And all four of them have a worst case scenario that has them struggling to be on this team 2 and 3 years from now. And I just think that's really interesting. Again, that's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. I just think it's a fascinating thing. And Brett Veach talked a lot over the course of his presser about taking the best player available. That was really what they ended up doing. So they, look, we're gonna go through our board. We're gonna take the best player who's there, and if they end up filling a need and works out that way, then great. We'll get to some of that from him in a little bit. But your best player available, if you're picking by ceiling, I believe that these were the best players available at that time. If you're picking by certainty, they almost certainly were not the most certain surefire players on the board at that point. And I guess I will say, to make a little bit of a value judgment on that, I kind of like that mindset, especially later on. I do not particularly care for that mindset with your first and second round picks. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but Josh Kando is a super volatile, again, high variance player who needs some sanding off of the edges, but has an amount of talent that could be really, really impactful, really valuable. I don't mind taking that shot at pick 144 at all. I would rather you not take that shot at pick 59 with Tano Passanio, or certainly trading up to pick 46 for Breland Speaks. Those guys are all three of them are tremendously different types of players. Please don't hear me say all three of those names and think that Josh Kando is either Tano Passanio or Breland Speaks. He's neither of those guys, and neither of them are related to each other. Like, those are all very different players, but what they do share is that sense memory of, wait a second, did he say developmental edge rusher? Oh, God. Breland Speaks is never on the ground. Tano Passanio is never in the backfield. Like, oh, no, what are we doing here? But you take, if they would have taken Breland Speaks or Tano at pick 144, we would review those picks much less harshly. Because at that point, you're trying to find guys, ideally, with high ceilings. Now, last year, that's not how the draft went, which is one of the reasons I think this is the part of it that might be most interesting to me, especially if you're looking at it from Brett Veach's perspective or looking at Brett Veach or the front office as a whole, because I really do. This weekend was a good reminder, and also Beards could probably attest to this. This weekend was a good reminder that Brett Veach is not silently going through all of this tape on his own. We're hearing from area scouts, directors of college personnel, director of college scouting, director of pro personnel, right? We're hearing from all of these guys, I mean, we heard just on Friday and Saturday, we heard from Ryan Poles, assistant director of player personnel. We heard from Mike Bradway. We heard from David Henson, area scout. We heard from Ryan Nutt, director of college scout. We heard from Tim Terry, the other director of pro personnel. We heard from Matt Sperduto, an area scout. We heard from Mike Borgonzi, director of football ops. Those guys all have really important voices in the war room, as far as I can tell, as does a guy like Brendan Daly and Steve Spagnuolo. But if you do look at it through just sort of the Chiefs front office spectrum, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not a high variance pick. You had a very good idea of what he was going to be and how impactful he's capable of being because he's a running back. Willie Gay, probably more high variance pick. Lucas Niang, I think a pretty safe pick. We'll see if that ends up being true, but like, you can see him being a right tackle, or if not that, then kicking into guard. He just had to deal with injuries. I'm not sure why he went as late as he did. Legarius Sneed, a good high variance pick that's working very well. A guy from a small college, wouldn't have surprised me if Legarius Sneed never would have played a snap last year. Instead, he ended up being one of this defense's best players. Mike Dana, not a high variance pick. Also, I think has a relatively limited range of outcomes, and if he hits that on the high end, he's a valuable rotational piece. Probably won't be more than that. I just think that's all pretty interesting, because it's not that the Chiefs play by the same playbook all the time. Hardman, Thornhill, Colin Saunders, Rashad Fenton, Darwin Thompson, Nick Allegretti, all relatively high variance guys, where the worst case scenario and best case scenario occupy a large range of space. But again, I think Clyde and Niang, you have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be able to be on the next level. It's not, you know, a stop set here and a stop set there. It's not brackets, but it's like a bell curve. Think of it as a bell curve. I really think that the curve for Joshua Kando is incredibly spread out, where there's a huge chance that he ends up doing something on either end of the spectrum, which again, at pick 144, I think is a pretty good thing. We'll also talk about the guys above that, because I do think that I could put money down on what Creed Humphrey's NFL career is probably going to look like, and I would feel pretty confident about it. Nick Bolton maybe is the same, maybe the same deal there. But whatever those guys hit in terms of their ceilings and floors obviously matters a tremendous amount, especially with picks that high. But I think the last four picks of this draft, and really, I'm going to show my hand here, I'm going to tip my hand a little bit. I think the last five picks of this draft class are the five most interesting ones in many ways, which only leaves their first pick being Nick Bolton. So we'll work through. Why are you shaking? I was gonna throw it to you, Rudy.
Such a hater.
No, I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. I don't think it's that interesting. I think I know. I think I here's what I'll tell you. I was just about to throw it to you and see what you thought of the class as a whole, mm-hmm. and then we can get into some of these guys specifically. And I'll start with Nick Bolton. I'm not gonna say anything else about Nick Bolton. I'm gonna let you take the wheel. You tell me how you're feeling about the whole class. If you buy my logic here, and then I'll talk about Nick Bolton.
Yeah, they didn't draft a quarterback, so
yeah, true.
I got some problems.
Yeah, fair.
That's it.
That's your whole take?
No.
I opened my shaker bottle so I can get a long drink.
So honestly, I actually think we're a little similar opinions there, where I really like the picks that they made towards the end of the draft, especially Trey Smith. Trey Smith's a guy I watched at Tennessee a handful of times.
Oh yeah, you probably saw him. You probably saw him do push-ups off some Kentucky defenders.
Well, the thing is, Kentucky. We've handled Tennessee well, but that's a lie. Tennessee has been bad the last like 6-7 years, but the one team they seem to be good against is Kentucky. But we did beat them this last year. We finally got them. It was like Mark Stoops' first time beating Tennessee. Finally got them.
That's all fine and good. Real quick on Trey Smith. I think Seth has tweeted out some of these clips. You will find clips of Trey Smith pancaking dudes, and then I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. He will fall on them, and then he will like... It seriously looks like he's about to do a push-up where he is laying on this dude on the ground and then will like sort of body slam him again.
Yeah.
It's nasty. I would not want to get blocked by him.
He truly is an incredible talent who, if not for, essentially just some injury concerns, right?
Yeah.
Like he is going earlier than the sixth round. A guy his size with his strength and with like he's more athletic than a guy that big should necessarily be.
Yeah.
I don't really know a ton out of Cornell Powell. Like I'll be honest, like I just like even though Clemson is a big team, I did not see a lot of him this year, but just from everything I've read and seen on Twitter and stuff, I was disappointed they did not draft a receiver sooner.
Me too.
I still am.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I in an ideal world, they would have drafted Cornell Powell. And I'm just going to say
Deami Brown, Terrace Marshall Jr.
Deami Brown was a name I mentioned a lot before the draft because I thought Terrace Marshall Jr. would be long gone.
Yeah.
When Terrace Marshall Jr. was there at 58, it hurt not drafting him. And that is nothing against Nick Bolton. It's not Nick Bolton's fault. He's fine. He's a good player, and he can bring value to the team. Now, they're part of this is we are just kind of assuming both him and Willie Gay Jr. will be good. It's probably fair to assume, considering they were both second-round picks, that at the very least they should be above-average players in the NFL.
So is Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, and having eventually, obviously this year going to have Hitchens. If next year you have your two starting linebackers are on rookie deals, that allows you to spend a little bit of money defensively elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. There is value in that.
100%.
Terrace Marshall Jr. seems like he would have brought a lot more value.
So let me throw this at you here, because this is my here's my offer to you. Door number one.
Mm-hmm. It's a boat.
Is a boat. No, door number one is. And by the way, I think I can tell you the answer on Terrace Marshall Jr., by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was off the board for medicals. We'll hear this more with Trey Smith later on. I don't know. This is like back alley stuff. Veach said this morning when they talked about Trey, they were talking about Trey Smith.
The reason why he fell in the draft was because of a foot injury, if I remember right.
No, his knee, knee stuff.
Yeah.
It's a whole deal.
I knew he had injuries, which is the only reason why he dropped even that far.
Yes. So, because whenever Veach was talking about Trey Smith, we'll get to that audio later in the show, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood. he says, hey, we're usually one of the more conservative teams in the NFL in terms of taking guys off our board with medicals if there's a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty confident that he was severe. His ranking on their board was severely hurt strictly by medicals. I don't know if that's true with Deami Brown. It might be. I think there's also a little medical stuff around him, but also it's football and a lot of guys have medical issues. But let me here's your door number one, door number two thing. This is mostly talking about Nick Bolton, okay? And we'll get into some of the specifics on him in a second. Z-Man on Twitch says, why draft Bolton round two when he could have gotten Nick Neiman in the sixth? If I offered you Deami Brown or Terrace Marshall Jr., your pick, right, at 58 overall, and you could bring back Damian Wilson for $1 million, $2 million, whatever he signed with Jacksonville for, to come play your Sam spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you get DeMarcus Robinson and Nick Bolton, because those are equivalent. That the money is very similar, and I'm just swap the acquisition cost is very similar. You could have had Deami Brown and Damian Wilson, or you could have had Deami Brown and Nick Neiman, who I would not have hated because I don't know who the Will linebacker is on this roster right now, because I don't really think it's Nick Bolton, even though we're going to hear Brett Veach in a second tell me it's Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
If you said, hey, you could have Deami Brown and Nick Neiman and Damian Wilson instead of having DeMarcus Robinson, Nick Bolton, and Cornell Powell, I would rather have door number two. I'll say it that way. I'm not trying to hate on Nick Bolton. I think his future will ultimately, he will have a role here. And in many ways, much like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's going to do something great and I'm going to get tweets about it and everyone's going to misunderstand my actual opinion. I am not mad that the Chiefs,
a good pick.
I was not happy that the Chiefs took a running back in the first round last year. That felt like a personal attack on my soul. Taking Nick Bolton here, I just don't think is the best use of their draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing as lighting your money on fire.
Yeah.
If you know the pang you feel whenever you buy something and it's not quite as good as you wanted it to be. You realize after the fact, I probably could have spent that money a little bit more wisely on something that would have been more beneficial. That's kind of how I feel about them taking Nick Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
When they took Clyde last year, I knew that not only was I going to get tased and was it not where I would have spent that money, also it was going to be a deeply frustrating conversation point for the next year or so, and it might include next year also. We'll see how it all goes. That I'm not there with Nick Bolton, but I do think there are a couple instances of fit
of positional value and of what he's the best at and where the Chiefs see his fit being. He is here to be an Anthony Hitchens replacement next year. I'm going to play Brett Veach audio for you here in just a second. Beard, you can fire this one up and get this one ready. Brett Veach on Nick Bolton and where he plays. Because Veach is about to tell you, almost as clearly as I don't know if I've ever heard Brett Veach essentially say, he's here to replace a veteran that we love whenever we cut him next year. Mm-hmm. But Brett Veach essentially says that here. Whatever Bolton does in 2021 is going to be secondary to 2022 and beyond in the Chiefs' mind. And that is as a cheaper replacement for Anthony Hitchens that can maybe do some of that, as Seth Kaiser wrote in his Chief of the North newsletter. We'll talk about this tomorrow night. But as he wrote there, maybe a little faster, maybe a little quicker. But he is not a fix in coverage. He wasn't asked to do a lot in coverage at Mizzou. And I'm not totally sure where he's going to fit this year. What does that mean in the meantime? I don't know. Is that a good selection for your first pick at 58 overall in a draft? I don't know. I think I can make you an argument for why it's good for the long term. I was telling you the last couple of weeks, I think one of the most important thing for this draft class is what it's going to do in terms of hitting now to free up money later on to be able to account for things like Mahomes' deal, Orlando Brown's deal, Tyrann Mathieu's eventual extension, Tyreek Hill's eventual extension, all of that. I have no problem with that at all. But if you're not going to have a guy play until his second year, I would probably rather have that guy come later in the draft and just keep Anthony Hitchens for another year or two.
And to go kind of go off on this, this draft to a degree feels like that. Like it's the reason why they draft Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. You know what the best way to offset massive contracts at left tackle and left guard is to have rookie deals at center, right guard, and right tackle.
Absolutely.
And now this is more to an extreme, but with a Kando. Best way to replace Frank Clark's money in theory, or to have somebody opposite Frank Clark, so you don't have to go out and send an Alex Okafor, is to have the defensive end on a rookie deal. Now again, Kane, I think expecting the last pick in the fourth round to come in and necessarily be an impact player, probably not going to happen. But he is a guy like you said, he is a tall, long defensive end who is flexible.
Yep.
And those are guys who have the potential to be excellent. Like those are the traits you want out of your pass rushers, because when you look at great pass rushers, great pass rushers have that.
Right.
They're tall, they're long, they're flexible. That's what they do.
And that's you extrapolating on this draft being for the future and for future flexibility. That's okay logic. I love that for your mid-round picks.
Yes.
I'm a little more lukewarm on it whenever I have a chance to take De'Ami Brown, to take Terrace Marshall Jr., to take one of those guys towards the end of the second round that could hopefully make an impact now and later. Listen to what Brett Veach says here, though, about Nick Bolton, where he fits in this defense and what the plan's going to be for how he fits on this team.
Well, we certainly had a lot of opportunities to watch Nick Bolton play, being local and just a great player. And he's both these guys, I think, we not only got better on the offense and defensive side, but both these guys, you talk about their intelligence, their durability and their leadership skills. I mean, these are two high character players and people are going to be great in the community. They're going to be great in the locker room. They're going to come in, they're going to learn the playbook quickly. They're going to get up to speed. A lot of this, especially, last year with having OTAs and this year, hopefully, we get into these OTAs, but I'm sure it'll be a little bit different than in years past. You got to get into the playbook and you got to get caught up to speed quick, but both these guys, Adam, I mean, they're extremely intelligent. Both captains, leaders, guys that played a ton of football at their respective universities. So I think both these guys, you talk about Nick Bolton, I mean, he's a guy that can come in here and play and both at the mic position and the will position. He's got sideline to sideline range. Again, tough, smart, can make all the calls, has made all the calls. You look at Anthony Hitchens and he's one of the guys that does a lot for us, but when Hitch goes down, we're really looking to add depth there. And then, again, his versatility to play either Mike or Will.
So the reason that's cut weird, and also he mentions them, it's a question about both Bolton and Creed Humphrey, but I cut it before I got to the Creed stuff, cause we're gonna get to the Creed clip in a second.
We'll get there.
The thing at the end though, the little hanging participle there at the end. He says he thinks he can play the Mike and the Will positions. I think he can probably play the mic. I think that probably ends up happening, being in the middle of the defense and replacing Hitchens. But he says, when Hitch goes down, Anthony Hitchens hasn't been dealing with nagging injuries. I think he missed some COVID time towards the end of last year. But this is essentially how Nate Taylor framed it. I was talking to him for Times Ours earlier this morning. He said he's talking there about whenever Hitch goes down permanently, whenever Hitch goes down in the books, because they move on from him completely. I understand that that's the plan, and I think that's fine. I just think that it also probably benefits you to have slightly tempered expectations in that regard. Because I think that the plan, if you're going to get Ben Neiman off the field, would be putting Willie Gay at the Sam, which I'm not 100% sure that he's strong enough to really play. You think about Willie Gay versus other previous Sam linebackers, and Seth made this point also of that Spags will sort of change that role depending on who's playing there, which I think is a sign of a really good coach. But maybe they can make it work for Willie Gay, but I don't think that's necessarily his natural, like, best fit. Mm-hmm. Hitch at Mike is his best fit. And then Bolton / Neiman on the weak side. I think Brett Veach is saying that he believes that Bolton can do more in coverage than he was asked to do in college, which I guess is a reasonable thing. I mean, if you're the Mike linebacker, you're probably not, you know, following guys or floating out into that zone as much as you would, you know, if you're in the Mike, you're just kind of hanging out in the middle. I guess that works. The Chiefs do so much in sub packages, though, that you really, if you're going to stay on the field, you really need to be able to stick with guys in coverage in those sub packages. And I'm just a little bit concerned about Bolton being able to do that. And if he's just going to be there to be a sort of a slightly more traditional Mike linebacker that is replacing Hitchens, he does that next year, that's fine. He's just not going to do that while Anthony Hitchens is still on the roster. Yeah. I'd be stunned if he took snaps from Hitchens this year. I think he will. If Hitchens gets hurt, we'll see. Maybe he's more impactful this year than I would have anticipated. And if not, I think we'll see him in 2022. But it's a little bit of an odd pick, especially also. Here's my one other thing. They mentioned the De'Ami Brown or Damian Wilson, and Damian Wilson versus DeMarcus Robinson and Nick Bolton. Here's my last thing on Bolton and the linebacker thing for now. I don't know how much you can move a needle going from an average linebacker to an above average linebacker, or even a good one to a great one. If you are elite in all phases of the game, then I think there's a chance you move the needle that way. Those guys go top five, top 10. And if you have a nightmare at linebacker, that is a problem. If you have a nightmare anywhere on the field, that one weakness can exploit everything. Yeah. But that's why Damian Wilson is on a roster. Damian Wilson will not get you in trouble as long as you're asking him to do things that are within his skill set. In some ways, can you hear the hesitancy in my voice? Mm-hmm. In some ways, I think linebacker has a similar problem to running back where there's so much else going on. And this could probably also be said about five or six positions if you're going to scale it down. And this might be a personal hill that I start dying on more often. We'll see. I don't know. But if you're a Sam linebacker or a Mike linebacker, and I guess if you're a disastrous Will when in coverage, but if you are trying to upgrade from merely good to great, I just don't know how much that really improves your defense. A great corner changes your defense. A great safety changes your defense. A great pass rusher changes your defense. A great, like, run-stuffing nose probably doesn't. A great Mike linebacker, I don't really think changes the dynamic of your defense. A great left tackle can. Can a great left guard? I don't know. The reason you paid Joe Tooney is because you are 100% sure he's not going to get you in trouble. He's never going to be a disaster. Yeah. The reason you play Orlando Brown Jr. is because it should help you free up other stuff elsewhere, and also he'll never get you in trouble. So that's a sliding scale that again, I may have to revisit that thought. I'm not fully cemented in on that. I'm just kind of, that's sort of been a thing I've been thinking out loud about over the last
few days, especially in terms of what positions are worth investing in that highly and what positions aren't. And the one thing that makes me a little queasy, or at least a little uneasy, is that the Chiefs really don't seem to give a bleep about positional value right now. And I think it was formerly dead to the show, currently ambivalent to the show, Kent Swanson, who tweeted that the Chiefs' last four picks, their last four top picks over these last two drafts were running back, linebacker, interior offensive lineman. And those are not necessarily value hotspots for a position group. And so I think that bears watching. I think that's interesting. I'm not fuming. And I think we'll take a break whenever we come back. If you're feeling like I'm maybe peeing in the punch bowl a little bit, I'll bring some new punch in this next segment.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We get so horny for Tre'Mont Smith.
I do not regret that choice of words. I chose it purposefully.
We do?
As a fan base. Yes! Armani Watts really gets our heart pumping.
Who else is it?
Khalil McKenzie really gets our juices flowing here in Kansas City.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good liner choice, Beards. I want to take a couple of Twitch questions really quick before we move on to Creed Humphrey. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest in 20 minutes. Jordan Foote of Arrowhead Report in an hour and 20 minutes. Human Torch 101 said, when Josh says we'll get to the audio later in the show, I laugh because of gestures at this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very good point.
It's a great point.
I work so hard to cut all this audio and make sure it's all in the right place. And it's probably going to be something that we sort of leak out over the course of the week.
Because
there's just too much. There's just too much to talk about, man. There's just too much here. A handful of other comments. First of all, JT, yes, I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger. That's my natural rival, Mid-American Nazarene University and Mizzou neck and neck. Beards, unmark that. I don't want Mizzou fans mad at me for no reason. If I give them a reason to be mad at me, fine. But don't take me sarcastically saying I hate Nick Bolton out of context. You're gonna do it again. Mm-hmm. I don't want it, Beards. I know this sounds like I'm doing a bit, but I did this last year, and then every time Clyde Edwards-Helaire farted 2 yards down the field, I got 57 tweets. I don't want to do that again.
Sounds like a you problem.
Whoever your favorite player is, dear listener, I love them. I want to kiss them on the mouth.
I hate
them. No, don't mark that either.
Unless they went to Kentucky, then I like them.
Z-Man says, nothing says current NFL like a small thumper of a linebacker. It's funny. It's overly critical and overly dismissive, mm-hmm. but it is funny. There was something else that I wanted. Here's the thing. So, like, JT says he'll force some fumbles and make some stops for a loss that no one on this roster can right now. Damian Wilson made some thumps, and he also wasn't. Because this goes into a couple other facets here. People that zig when everyone else is zagging don't get value. That's simply not true. Like, there's a reason that teams will swell towards a specific direction in terms of value. But there was a tweet later on.
Run the football.
I'm trying to find.
Are you talking about the one everybody?
Yeah, from Darth Maul Dad. So everyone complains about how bad our linebackers are until we draft two of them. I'm not really complaining about the linebackers. I wasn't really complaining about the linebackers last year. And the thing that I would be complaining about would be their ability to cover running backs out of the backfield. Like, it's typically that. I don't really care if they're able to run the ball 3 or 4 yards at a time. We've been having that conversation for 3 years now, and I'm tired of having the conversation of, I don't let your team run the ball against the Chiefs. It's fine. It's not going to matter because Patrick Mahomes plays for them. That's not why they're ever going to lose a football game. It's simply not going to happen. They're not going to lose a meaningful football game to a team that runs for 4 and 5 yards a carry, and if it's more explosive than that, there are much bigger problems at hand. I'm not worried about the linebackers much more than I was worried about the running backs last year. And also, what I don't love is Anthony Hitchens not playing great football at the price tag he was playing at. He played pretty well last year. Also, Willie Gay didn't get on the field. I just don't understand why that's like a checkmate. What did you breathe out your nose so hard
at? JT's response to you right there is, you freeze a dead possum in a block of ice and put it in the middle of some 190 punch. The goal is to drink it before the ice melts.
Start doing meth?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I don't know what that means either.
I think there's something about you peeing in the punch bowl.
Yeah, but I'm still confused.
Yeah, I mean,
about most of it.
Oh, he said earlier, anyone ever had roadkill punch?
Got it. There it is. That's okay. Important context.
There we go.
So DJ actually
said, explaining what roadkill punch is.
DJ on Twitch said, being first in the league and letting up yards running backs receiving is probably what motivated this pick. Yeah, except for that's not what Nick Bolton's going to do. Maybe he can, but that's not what he ever did in college. Mm-hmm. That's why I would say you take a shot on Nick Neiman, who is athletic enough to stick with a running back, but you don't really want him on an island against a blocker at the second level ever. Like, that's what I would be looking at.
Yeah.
I think that's the specific place that makes sense. And also, he's not gonna unseat Anthony Hitchens this year. Willie Gay got 19 snaps last year in his first year in the system. It's not gonna happen.
Spags loves Hitch. Now to give the Chiefs like some essentially benefit of the doubt, right? Like, they clearly scouted Nick Bolton with the thought of, okay, this is what he did in college. What do we think he can do in the NFL?
Yeah, sure.
They clearly think he can. And hey, It's possible he absolutely can. Maybe he's way better at it. He was just never asked to do it. Sometimes players in college, for whatever reason, are very capable of doing things. They are just never asked to do it because of the system that they're in. And so they don't get the chance to showcase it. And so because they didn't get the chance to showcase it, we just essentially assume they can't do it. When reality is, they just never got the chance to do it. I do not know if that's the case with Nick Bolton. The Chiefs certainly believe that is the case to some degree. But again, I think we've said this, I feel like, a million times this year and then last year. It's not really about Nick Bolton. It's the position. Like, it's really nothing to do with Nick Bolton. He's a good player.
It's partially about Nick Bolton. Well, if you go to the specifics of the position, yes, of the linebacker positions, if you go hyper-specific to Sam, Will, Mike,
yes,
which also, so one other thing from Ice Pyro, aren't linebackers really important in a Seattle-style defense? Rudy, you read that comment during the break, and you made a point that I'll let you make in real time.
Yeah, Seattle still has really good linebackers. Bobby Wagner's still incredible. Their defense was atrocious this year because the Legion of Boom finally died.
It's your defensive backs. It's your coverage. It's also being able to get to the quarterback.
That's the reason why that team was special, was because they had probably the best secondary we've ever seen, which helped their defensive line, which was good, but it helped their defensive line play at an elite level, at least throughout first stretches, because they had the best secondary we've ever seen. And Bobby Wagner is a part of that.
Sure.
He was he still is a really good player. And a large part of the reason why he's a really good player is because of his ability in coverage. That makes him a valuable asset that a lot of teams in the NFL don't have. A lot of teams don't have linebackers that can cover. But the reason why they were great was the Legion of Boom.
And I think there's a perfectly reasonable chance that Nick Bolton is Anthony Hitchens in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can do it at a cheaper cost that ends up being valuable.
Totally valuable. Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
I don't need anyone to try to convince me that he's actually Derek Johnson right now, like prime mm-hmm. Derek Johnson, and also better in coverage. I don't really need that at the moment.
That.
I don't think that's doing yourself any favors. If you watch Nick Bolton, if you're a Mizzou fan listening, and you watch Nick Bolton play over the course of the last couple of years, God bless you. You watched him be great against lesser competition.
I mean, he's in the SEC.
Where it means more, basically
the NFL.
It does just mean more.
I'm not saying Kentucky could beat the Jets, but I think maybe KU could even beat the Jets.
It frustrates me to have to like beat up against the door of they didn't draft Superman at 58 overall, and I don't think he forces his way onto the field in the immediate. If he is strictly an Anthony Hitchens replacement, that's fine. But if you're going to have a linebacker that doesn't have to play for a year, maybe, could you get that later? I think he'll be a Chief for a long time. I think he'll be good in the middle of the defense. I think, honestly, in 4 years, we're probably talking about, can they upgrade over Nick Bolton? Can they put another linebacker by him? I think Bolton and Gay next to each other for a few years should be really fun, and there should be enough athleticism there to get you through a range without ever having to worry about linebacker again. They've also just invested 2 second-round picks back-to-back years in that position. So,
I want to point this out. Z-Man says, I'm sure Bolton will play well on first and second down, and then JT kind of goes, hey, if it puts him in third and long consistently, it's worth it. I think one thing's being overlooked here is, again, that is the old NFL, essentially, right? Like, in today's NFL, on first down, you still throw the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that it's going to be first and second down the team's going to run, or even first down that the team's going to run, so we're fine with having the guy who can't cover. Every down's a passing down in the league now. Now, against some teams, that's not necessarily true, right? You play against Seattle, like we just said. In Seattle, Pete Carroll's made it very clear he wants to run, pass, punt.
Right.
Run, pass, punt. That's his offense. Some teams are like that. But as we've seen the Chiefs, and I know the Chiefs aren't necessarily the best example because they have a quarter, they have a freakishly good quarterback, but there are plenty of other teams, especially teams who the Chiefs are going to be competing against in the AFC title game and in the Super Bowl, the teams that matter, those teams will throw. And they will throw on first down. They will throw. The Bills will throw early. Now, Josh Allen may take off and run or something, but they will drop him back to pass the ball early. Even the Ravens will to a degree, and part of that is because of Lamar Jackson's ability to run. But the teams that the Chiefs are competing against, they will throw on any down. So the ability to be great against the run on first and second and then take you off the field on third down, that doesn't really exist in the NFL anymore. It will happen from time to time throughout games. You will have drives like that, but that's not something you can count on.
Well, for two segments and nearly a full hour, we've talked about one of the Chiefs draft picks.
Yep.
We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, we're not going to have enough time to talk about anyone in real depth, but we'll talk to Matt Derrick in 10 minutes. We'll talk to Jordan Foote in an hour and 10 minutes. Somewhere along the way, over the rest of this show, over a three-hour radio show, we're going to talk at least a little bit about every single one of the Chiefs draft picks, and we'll get to the audio later.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I hate Nick Bolton.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know what I just figured out is at all times, one of you has to be the world's worst teammate, and the other one will be a good teammate. But I never get both of you. never get both of you.
But you frequently don't get either of us.
That's true. That's 100% true. Quick, Rudy, make your point about the question of taking, would you rather take elite players at less valuable positions or more questionable talents at more valuable positions?
Yeah, the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year, 32 overall, potentially elite running back at a less valuable position.
First one off the board?
Yes, and then immediately after, starting with the seventh receiver drafted in the draft, the Bengals drafted T. Higgins.
Yeah.
The eighth receiver in the draft was Michael Pittman Jr. Not as good. The ninth receiver in the draft was LaVisca Chenault. The 11th receiver in the draft was Chase Claypool.
You also mentioned Michael Pittman, not that good. Who was his quarterback last year? I seem to forget.
What's his name?
It'd be Philip Rivers. It'd be Philip Rivers throwing trebuchet footballs.
And let me say, it's not that Michael
Pittman
Jr.
Put him in Kansas City,
Jr.
damn it.
Yeah, it's not that Michael Pittman Jr. wasn't good. It was just more compared to some of those other names.
I would like T. Higgins would have been great. T. Higgins would have been a blast. Listen, I've been very clear on this. I said this on Times Ours today. Last year, I would have taken T. Higgins over Clyde, and this year, I would have taken De'Ami Brown over Nick Bolton. If I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Either way, I'm still going to have said that thing out loud.
Receiver is now cornerback. The Chiefs are never going to draft one high. It's just not happening. I think I moved receiver into the cornerback position. I'm done thinking they're going to do it. I'm done hoping for it. I'm done wishing for it. My heart's going to be broken. Who's the top running back next year?
I really wish they would have signed Juju still, by the way. That one's going to hurt for
I think
a little
he's going to be a Chief next year. I think this is a Tyrann Mathieu situation. I really do believe this.
A Bashaud Breeland situation, a Tyrann Mathieu situation. Yeah.
This feels like he's the next one.
Speaking of Bashaud Breeland, I think he's going to be back at some point. That'll be among many things we talk to Matt Derrick about next here on Sports Radio 810.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I hate Nick Bolton.